Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hey, good evening, everybody. My name is Bobby Marcheso. You're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, our guest, Lennon Honor, author, talk show host, consultant, lecturer. We're going to be talking about star seeds and spiritual vision. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming all my co-hosts. First off, it's the lovely, freshly showered Steve. How are you, Steve?
I'm freshly showered.
Is that all right that I told everyone? I figured
absolutely.
That the audience likes to relate. You know what I mean? They need to know we're people too. We eat. We hopefully shower. You know,
we do.
So I thought that was a good thing to kind of throw in there.
I do. I didn't attend the full meeting in advance of the show because I had a shower and ate some figs. It's very true.
Ate a fig. And as you said, a thing quite as disappointing as a bad fig. Is that true?
It was a disappointing fig. I have to say.
Okay. I will just have to take your word for it. So tell me, Steve, along with your incredible fig discerning powers, what else is it that you do for us here at Psychic Access?
Well, I'm the vice president of figs.
Newly elected.
I'm a psychic medium from the UK where there are not many figs. And I lived in Spain, which is why I came to love figs. And I live in the States, and I love working with spirits as well as eating figs.
And sometimes he will actually do a gallery for with a room full of people in just a fig leaf. So you'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Yeah, I charge $9.99 a minute for that, though.
That's a different. That's a whole nother show. And Maureen, welcome this evening. How are you, lovely?
I'm fine. You know, you're funny. You sound a little English when you were talking to Steve.
I do. I'm telling you, I'm very suggestible in that way. Put me in Oklahoma for a little bit, and I adapt the accent. If I'm in Spain, it just rolls off my tongue. I'm telling you, I do fall into it quite easily. So
you're a chameleon, okay? Just like Woody Allen.
Oh, I'm a light chameleon. Yes, I'm a dialect chameleon.
Yes, I'm. My name is Maureen, and I'm an empath, psychic, intuitive consultant. And I work with all you lovely people from England and Oklahoma.
That's
PsychicAccess.com.
Those who don't know where to live. Very good. Thank you, Maureen. And then finally, our lady Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Greetings.
Greetings. How are you?
Actually, I'm doing real good. I can't top Steve's fig leaf, though. I mean, I'm...
No. Who'd want to, though, really?
No. But... I do have 8-inch heels on, so you can...
Well, thank you for that.
That's a good one.
You know, I'm sitting with a lamp in front of me, and it's amazing, this 60-watt bulb, just the energy that gives out. It's warmer.
I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places. I work with all of you wonderful people at PsychicAccess.com.
Very nice. Thank you so much. So that's all of our co-hosts tonight. Let me introduce you to our special guest. His name is Lennon Honor. He's a husband, father, musician, video producer, talk show host, personal consultant, lecturer, and writer. And he's also written and self-published two different books. The first is called Writings for the Fathers of the World Tomorrow. It was written to inspire current and future parents and to encourage healthy relationships between fathers and sons, which I kind of wanted to go into just a little bit on the show. And then the second book, Deep into the Garden of Consciousness, that delves more into the metaphysics, the spirituality, the consciousness. When you have the ability to envision yourself as having the potential to become greater, That's what's called the spiritual vision, according to Lennon. It's through spiritual vision that one can engage in the transformative process of spiritual refinement in pursuit of spiritual growth. The Starseeds segment of the program, which will come up more than likely the second, not the second half of the show, but the second half of the interview, and that will cover individuals who feel excitement and longing upon learning that you might have originated from another world. Have you ever felt that, like you're just not quite human, or that you just, you constantly look up to the stars and think that maybe you just don't belong here, or there's a longing to return home? If you've ever had any of that types of feelings, I thought that was very fascinating, so I'm looking very forward to talking about that. But a lot of times, these types of people can experience the aloneness and separateness that the human condition, but again, just have that sense of being foreigner on this planet. So I want to introduce and welcome Mr. Lennon Honor to the show. Hi, Lennon.
Hey, how's it going? I do appreciate the introduction. I'm not quite sure if I'm deserving of
okay, then, positive. But so thanks for calling in, and take care. Bye-bye, then.
Well, I'll you're see you later.
Of course you're deserving. I love your website. And the picture, my favorite picture of the on your website is the one where you're holding your son, like you're sitting at your desk, and is that your son or your daughter? Now that I think about it, I'm not on your website right now.
Yeah, that picture, that's my oldest son, Little Lennon.
Okay, Little Lennon.
Yeah.
I love that picture. Such a family guy.
Oh, thank you so much. He just turned 8 on this past. Tuesday prior, and he's a wonderful, wonderful child, and I have 5 children all together, and all of my children are wonderful blessings in my life, so I'm very thankful.
You know, it's part of your inspiration, just briefly touching on, I didn't plan on spending time on this, but now that we're kind of working our way into this, that your first book, The Writings for the Fathers of the World for Tomorrow, why do you think you're a good father today? I assume you consider yourself a good father because that picture pretty much says it all, doesn't it? So going on that, why do you think that you make such a good father? Did it have to do with the relationship between you and your dad, or did you learn from your father on how to be a great dad?
I learned from my father what not to be.
There. That's what I was looking for. I was hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah, and you know, for some of us, that's the path. Sometimes it's not all roses and pleasantries. Sometimes it's those challenges that we face in life that can be so overwhelming as a child. But when we overcome them, and sometimes we have certain spiritual experiences that assist us in overcoming them. Sometimes we have spiritual revelations that assist us in overcoming them. As we overcome them, we can use those experiences, whatever they may be. But in my case, with my relationship with my father, and my father being very destructive, abusive to my wife, he was on drugs, alcohol. At a certain point, he was on crack. For me, I use it as an example of what not to become. And so from an early age, I recognized that part of my experience here on this planet was going to be that I was going to be the best father that I could possibly be. And in order to get to that point, I had to do a lot of personal growth over the years prior to having children. And then once I began to have children, of course, that's when the fun really begins and the true process of personal refinement begins. So I would say that my in terms of me being a good father, I recognize that I am a good father. I have a lot more that I need to do, a lot more growth that still needs to be had. But the reasoning as to why I have become a good father has been because when I look at my wife, when I look at my children, there is a spiritual law that governs this particular universe, and that is that we are to be responsible for all that we create. And that includes male-female relationships, that includes families, and very, very much so, that includes children. So when we have children, the ultimate form of creation here on the planet Earth is to be able to create a child. This is why, of course, we must honor and respect women because they have the capacity through their sacred womb to be able to bring life about on this earth. Well, if we're going to be spiritual in the first place, we must adhere to that spiritual law that everything that we create, we must be personally responsible for. And in that sense, there's no way that I could walk away. There's no way that I could not do my best because, in essence, I would be denying myself of my own spiritual power.
Absolutely. Well, amen. Goodness. I think that's awesome. And I kind of had a feeling that's the way it was because that's what I tell – you know, when people ask me about it as well, it's the first thing that I say is that I'm a great dad because my father was not. And it is a learning process. And I find that I learn I grow with my kids. For every year that they grow, I grow right along with them, and I'm a different father every year.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not just the same father, because you have to rebound. You have to be flexible with them as they're growing, because there's different types of fathering that needs to be done at 5 than needs to be done at 8. You know, years old. So, totally agree. Well, thanks for doing that. Again, I hadn't really planned on asking you about that, but I can just completely tell that you're a great dad, and you know, obviously having to do with your first book. So let's get into your second book now. The Deep in the Garden of Consciousness. Tell me what the inspiration was for this.
Okay, Deep in the Garden of Consciousness. I've been doing documentary work on various topics for the last 3.5 years, almost 4 years now. And I've tackled so many different topics, from transhumanism,
sure,
topics dealing with media manipulation, subliminal messages, symbolism, all these different things. And there have been so many people who have asked, you know, when are you going to share your spiritual insights with us? And yeah, I was always very hesitant. And you probably have had this experience. And maybe I shouldn't say you probably. It's possible that you've had this experience.
No, I think you're right.
And there are other people, many of us, we've had this experience where we knew that we had a spiritual calling. And we all do. Everyone on this planet does. But we know that there was something that we needed to share with people. But we may have felt like we were unworthy of sharing that. Some people who have psychic gifts, they feel unworthy of those psychic gifts. They feel like, okay, I'm not the one. I should not have this. I should not have the capacity to have a dream and envision something that is going to take place. I should not have the capacity to be able to listen to someone's dream and be able to decode the significance of it. Many of us, we've had this experience where we feel like we're unworthy of it. And sometimes because of our life experiences and all of the badgering that we go through in life and the ups and the downs and the ups and the downs. And on some levels, we may get to a point where we feel like we are completely unworthy of that which is innate in us, those powerful spiritual gifts. And I can say that I felt the same way about the information that I share inside this book. I felt the same
absolutely.
Way. I felt like I'm not ready for this. This is not something that I can present to people. And for years and years, people kept asking. And finally, I came to the realization that I was worthy of this information, that I would not possess this information. Or, for instance, those of you all who have spiritual gifts, you would not possess these spiritual gifts unless you were worthy of them. And when I came to that epiphany, that's when I was so inspired to finally go ahead and put pen to paper and write this book. And I would say that that's the inspiration. It's not so much something or someone. It's just the realization. I consider it to be a spiritual realization that I was worthy of this information. Just like many of y'all who are listening to this show, and I'm sure many of your audience, they are people who have certain spiritual gifts. You are worthy. You would not have those gifts unless you were worthy of those gifts. And once I realized that in terms of the information in this book, I was inspired to go ahead and put pen to paper.
That's brilliant. Yeah. It's the same way when I first started out, I was really hesitant to even use the word psychic, because to me that meant something above and beyond what I could achieve, or I didn't want to be called that, or, you know, and then finally it got to the point where I was brave enough to call myself that. But then now I've gotten past all that and I don't like all the labels. So now I go back to more of just a teacher. Just a teacher, really, teacher and guidance and that type of thing. And that's one of the biggest things when I give workshops as well, is knowing that people don't acknowledge that, like you said, innate gift or whatever you want to call it, that they can't possibly have that. And so it does keep them back and hold them back and put limitations on themselves. Yeah. So you came to this. When was this realization before you wrote this book? How new is this book?
I finished this book last year, towards the end of last year. And and there's parts of the book that I actually wrote over a decade ago. Even then, you know, the elements of this, I was receiving the elements of, you know, the foundation of this book, even this book going back 10 years ago. But I didn't actually get to a point where I began to piece it together and I felt comfortable enough with the information, because some of the stuff that I present in there, you know, even at the time of writing it down, it's like you said, we have to be very courageous, you know, because we can present our truth to someone. And I say, you know, or for instance, I can present my truth to someone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to receive that truth in the most positive way. You know, and they may even criticize, or they may demean you, or they may put you down. They may say you're crazy. So we really have to have a level of courage. And so for me, once I decided, and I would say, because in essence, I wrote the first draft of the book in just 2 weeks. But part of it was because I've had a lot of this information I've had going back to almost 10 years ago. And then I went through the process of actually refining the information and making it more clear, But I finally finished the book. I think it was in September of last year was when I finally got it printed in hard copy form. I also have it in a PDF form. And then I began to issue it on the internet. But again, a lot of the information was already in me. And I will say this too, that, and I don't share this inside the book. A lot of the information that I share inside of the book was sourced from particular spiritual experiences that I had as a child. And this is to say that, you know, for many of us, we've had certain experiences and there's information that's encoded in those experiences that we may not even be able to decode or decipher until much later on in life. And I've always told, you know, people who have, and I'm sure you know about this, but for people who may not know, I've always told people that in order for us to access the information, because it's always in us, information and energy is really the same thing. And energy is flowing in and around us, it's flowing through us at all times. We are part of this energy stream, this spiraling out of creation, and it's always there with us. But for some of us, we have to get to a point in our lives where we've refined ourselves enough to where we can begin to break down and decode that information. And I will tell you that the means and mechanism for me in particular, and I'm not saying this is for everyone, but for me, in order for me to access that information, much of which was encoded in me as a child, the primary means for me to actually begin to access this information was to be a husband to my wife and be a father to my children.
Really? That's interesting. To live that human aspect fully in order to unlock information that was of a higher spiritual nature.
Yes.
Ooh, that's cool. I've never heard of something. For me, it's just whiskey.
You know, but and that works. I guess that can
be. I like the way you put it, though. That makes it more spiritual. That makes it sound, makes it sound awesome. No, that's very fascinating to me that because there always seems to be that struggle between the human self and the spiritual self and which one is which and why are we living this? And then we try too many times to, I think, acclimate or involve the spiritual self into the human self when sometimes you just need a human, right? Feel these certain types of emotions. So I so love the way you just put that. That's amazing. Now, is it a particular method that you found that you used or – I mean, because obviously you've been doing this spiritual quest for a while now, and have you found one particular method that helps you create this? I mean, I guess it's kind of what you call a spiritual vision, right? To envision yourself having the potential to become greater. So this spiritual vision, how do you achieve it, or is that something that you teach in the book?
I think that I don't teach that in the book because I think it's okay. Particular for each individual. You know, I think that I really do believe for some people it's whiskey.
Right, you know, right. I mean, whatever.
The means and mechanisms of finding that which is infinite must also be infinite. You see, so there's not one way. There's not one path to, you know, quote unquote, spiritual illumination or having spiritual vision. It's not one path. And this is to say that, you know, reality is not one thing. Reality is all things. And I really do abide to that principle. So this is to say that, you know, for each and every one of us, part of this wonderful conundrum that we face as biological entities that we call human being here on the planet Earth at this particular time is we're in this quest to find out what is my path to getting there. You know, what is my path? And for me, I can only speak to my own personal experience. My path has been to personally refine my thoughts, personally refine my words, and to personally refine my actions. And all of this must be executed within the context of my family institution. So I must be the committed husband and father. I must discipline myself on so many levels. I must discipline myself, discipline this biological entity to such a degree that when a wonderfully blessed woman walks by, meaning a woman who is beautiful, I must discipline my eye. Out of respect for my wife, I offer a disciplining of this biological. I discipline my eyes so that I do not look at her in a particular type of way, meaning to sexualize her out of respect of my wife. We do it. And for another example, I discipline the body of this biological entity. And this is, and again, this is part of my path. So therefore, I try to eat the best food that I possibly can. You know, I've never done drugs. Never done alcohol. I've always been surrounded by and been in environments where these types of things have been happening, where promiscuous sex was happening, where all these different. But even at an early age, I recognized, no, there's something else that I'm here to do. And I realized that I must discipline this human being. And in the process of personal discipline, meaning disciplining the mind and the thoughts that I keep, and this is a constant struggle for me, disciplining the words. Over the years, my words have transformed themselves. But you go back 15 years ago in the language that I was using, totally different than the language I'm using now. And then also, right. I discipline my actions. What I do on a daily basis has been more and more refined over the years. And this is my path towards enlightenment. But again, for other people, it may be something totally different. So I don't teach, you know, anyone a given particular path. What I teach people is that as a species, we all have a general divine purpose, but as individuals, that our individual purpose for being here and the path that we take is something that as an individual, each and every one of us must find for ourselves respectively.
See, I like how you say that, because I think that also that can add a lot of limitation to people, because they so listen to everyone else's stories about what enlightenment is like or what their path is like. And they envision this and they think, okay, I can do that. And then they attempt it. And when they can't do that, they take it personal and they think, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I do this? I'll never get enlightenment, or I'll never be happy, or because there's too many concepts out there about how other people do it. And I've got different methods that I teach, but again, and more emphasis on this is your personal experience. I want to introduce you to one of our co-hosts. Her name is Brenda McCoy, and she has a question about maybe how – Brenda, was it kind of like how he does this, or just in general you're talking?
Well, I was listening. It's very interesting. And I can tell, Lennon, that you're really on a dedicated spiritual path. What part do you believe the ego plays in all of this?
I hope I don't ruffle any – and thanks for the question, and thanks for the kind words. I do appreciate it, Brenda. The ego, what people call the ego, one of the principles that I work with, and I really apply this principle, my wife and I, in our relationship, is what I call the wholeness principle. And this is to say that when we take a holistic approach to all things, then there is no division. And when there is no division, then our ability to actualize our reality, to be able to have spiritual vision, is enhanced. And one of the things in terms of psychology that has been done, and I'm the type of individual that I am fascinated by human psychology. And to be quite honest with you, anyone who is on a spiritual path, at a certain point, you want to understand the mental functioning of the human being anyway, because it's a fascinating dynamic. This species is a very unique species. It has some characteristics. Sometimes the characteristics in terms of its psychology is quite humorous, and all we can do is laugh. Other times we can look at it and say, oh, wow, now that is profound. In terms of the ego, when most people speak about the ego, it's a more of a divisive kind of orientation, where it's perceived to be something exclusive of the quote unquote human consciousness. That it's an aspect of the human consciousness that is kind of set outside of the scope of the human being, but it's still there, and somehow it's operating to the detriment of the biological entity that we call human being. And I would propose that if there is an ego, that it must be part of the whole, and therefore it must have a purpose that cannot exclusively be defined as being something that's destructive to the spiritual growth of the human being. Now, when people say the ego, in terms of the spiritual development of the human species, in many cases, it's about this notion that you can't be, quote unquote, selfish and be spiritual at the same time. Meaning you can't be egotistical.
Exactly. That was the point I was getting to.
Yes, yes. And what happens with this dichotomy, or with this concept, and I've suffered from this. Okay, I've suffered from this. Well, I have to speak on it like I'm speaking on it now. This concept that somehow if you are selfless, then you can be spiritual. Well, what happens with this? Well, when we get to a point where we are only selfless, we put ourselves in a state of being wherein now we begin to lack. And the more and more we lack on a physical level, we are plunged further and further and further into what many people call poverty consciousness. And therefore, for some of us, in order for us to be spiritual, we must also be poor. In order for us to be spiritual, we must suffer materially. But if you but if you are egotistical and you put yourself first, then somehow you're going to be rich, and therefore when you can't be rich and spiritual at the same time. So there's so many concepts out there like that, isn't there?
And that's somehow what's really tripping a lot of people up, I think.
Yes.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. And it depends on how people perceive the ego. I don't perceive the ego as being something external. I don't perceive the ego as being something that should not be perceived within the realm of the wholeness of this human experience. It is here for a reason, and it makes perfect sense that on some level we must be selfish. And if we want to take, if we want to look at it on a spiritual level, on some level, we must be selfish enough for ourselves to not put ourselves in situations and circumstances that degrade our spiritual progressions. Okay, well then, in this sense, is there anything wrong with the ego? Absolutely not. Okay.
Yeah.
So I hope I'm
not known monks that are more unhappy than some people out in the world, because that's what they believed, right? It's not necessarily that they renounce the world. They believe the world has renounced them, and it's something that they think that they would have been happier with. And I have met some who are just even more so unhappy because they've given up everything.
Well, thank you, Lennon. That explained a lot. It's like a double-edged sword.
Yes, it is.
In other words.
It's a very fine line. Yeah, absolutely. And then like what you had also said, Lennon, where it's a matter of some people believe that, well, I can't be this spiritually enlightened and be rich and, you know, whatever, have all the riches in the world, that you have to live modestly. And it's just so many different perceptions and concepts out there. And I'm sure that you've had to fight some of those in your personal life, yeah?
Yes, yes. And I grew up in poverty by the standards of the United States of America. And currently, I am still residing in that space. But that's not the result of a lack of intelligence. It's not the result of a lack of drive or motivation. It's not the result of laziness. It's a result of my mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's how I've been raised to think as it relates to finance, as it relates to currency, as it relates to what's possible materially in my life. So part of this refinement in this path that I'm taking is to also, as I said before, to refine my thoughts. And part of this has been this notion that my ego was something totally bad, and that for me to be selfish on some levels, then I can't be spiritual at the same time. So I gave, and I became, by giving, I put myself in a position where I begin to suffer materially, suffer. And while I thought that this was a spiritual thing to do, there's nothing spiritual about living in poverty unnecessarily. And this is not the result of anything external of me. I lay claim to this. I'll take responsibility for this here and now. This is the result of my thinking. And so part of what I've had to do is to refine my thinking. And as I continue to refine my thinking, the situations and circumstances will begin to shift. And they already have begun to shift. Me being on your show is part of that shift. But I had to lay claim to the responsibility of recognizing that this is my own doing. And part of this, in terms of the conundrum, if you will, or the complexities of the trial and tribulation, is that for so long, I somehow believed that in order to be spiritual, I had to physically suffer. And there's no need for any of us to have to experience that. We can experience spiritual transformation and spiritual enlightenment through suffering, but we can also experience it through bliss. And it's a matter of choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What is a way that you have come to receive more of your spiritual type visions? Meditation, I would assume, obviously, but do you have any type of intentional meditation that it is that you do, or something that particularly works for you when you're trying to get back into the source?
Okay. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in meditation during my college years, and I took yoga classes as well. And I am a musician, and I went to college to study as a musician. And so in terms of sound, vibration, and so forth, that has been what I have studied over the years. And when you're dealing with sound, you're dealing with vibrations, you're dealing with energy, and so forth. So even in that sense, when I hear a sound, it means something totally different to me than maybe someone else who has not taken, you know, steps to study music. Maybe they just listen to music for enjoyment. So part of what I'm getting at is that part of my process, it has not been one thing. At certain times in my life, it was meditation. At other times, it was yoga. At other times, it was setting up a shrine to my ancestors and praying to my ancestors. At other times in my life, I've done other things as well. There have been times where I fasted, you know, for days on end and as part of my path in search of, you know, these different levels of spiritual understanding or spiritual enlightenment. There's other things I've done. I remember in college, I took a 6-year hiatus from sexual intercourse. And 6 years, 5 years, I was in college for 5 years, but for 6 years, 5 years while in college, plus 1 year after, no sexual intercourse. And this is the prime time when most males, and when they're at that age and they're in college, this is, okay, I'm going to sell my royal oats. But it was a matter of discipline. I found that to discipline myself on that level. Now, some people would sit back and say, that's absolutely insane. Why would you do that to me?
I'm not saying that
this is something that all of us should attempt to do. But I can say that for me, in terms of my own spiritual progression, this was something that I had to do. And what came out of it for me personally was very much profound and very much life transforming. And I would say that by taking that path, it brought my wife towards into my space. By taking that path, it attracted to me the quality of woman that my wife is. And I have been blessed ever since. And we're about to celebrate our 11-year anniversary. We have 5 children to back all this up. So this is to say that there are different things that I've done over the past, in terms of my quest and on my journey. But I will say that nowadays, in terms of my continued spiritual growth, there are two main things that I must do. And one is to help as many people as I can in their own progressions. And that's what I do online. And I do personal consultations. I do documentaries and I do vlogs and blogs. I have a website and all this other stuff. But then the other thing that I must do, and I've talked about this earlier, is that I must function as the best husband and the best father to my children, the best husband to my wife and the best father to my children. And these two things, as they play themselves out, so long as I'm focusing in on these two things, I find that this is the best way for me in particular to continue in my spiritual journey. And again, for other people, it may be something totally different.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody has, that's just the way, like you said, that you were raised, your perceptions, and it gets you to where you're at. It's never, we could talk about, what you just said, I could never do that. I mean, bless your heart. It's just different ways though. And yet. I'm doing what I'm doing today. I'm very blessed. And I think the one thing that I have, it's been a disciplined thing, but I've never really had to try to do it, is never doing the drugs and alcohol and anything else, even though I grew up in a very alcoholic family and have been around friends who have done drugs and things like that. I've never done it, but it hasn't felt like, oh God, I really want to. I need to leave so I don't. Right. It's never been a discipline so much as it just has never really want to. And I think I know why now, that I've never done that to my body, obviously because of what I'm doing now. But it's just perceptions, and they really don't matter in the end, do they? As long as what you're doing is serving yourself and serving others and creating more peace than you are harm, I think, what the heck? Do what it is that you feel you need to do in your life's journey.
I totally agree. Very well said. Very well said.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Well, I know we're going to have a commercial break coming up here in just a little bit, but before we go into it, what out of this book, which, by the way, they can just get off your website, can't they? Just at lennonhonor.com?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So what is the main thing that you want when somebody reads this book? Like you said, people were asking you to write it for a long time, and you were trying to get out that message. But what is it that you're wanting people to understand or to get from this?
That the greatest spiritual challenge facing the human being at this point in time is what I call spiritual amnesia, as it relates to how we perceive our relationship to the cosmos. And what I mean by this, just to make it more clear, is that the manner in which we perceive our relationship to the cosmos is backwards, and that many of us identify ourselves as being exclusively a human being, or what we call the biological entity that we call the human being. And as we define ourselves in exclusivity, we shut off from the wholeness of our existence. And again, this speaks to what I call the wholeness principle, and that the greatest challenge is for us to redefine the relational model that we take. And this is to say that we are not a biological entity that is in search of spirituality.
We are, in essence,
spirituality that is being broadcasted into the thought field of the biological entity for the sake of the biological entity that we call human beings, spiritual progression. And that's a totally different orientation than from what many of us we've been raised to think. And so this whole spiritual quest that many of us we engage in, it's like spiritual amnesia. And the question I always raise is, who are you? What are you? And is there a difference between who you are and what you are? Like, for instance, who I am is Lennon Honor. I recognize that, the biological entity that we call human being. But this biological entity is in marriage. It is in spiritual contract with an ethereal being. And that ethereal being is what I am. It does not change over time. It refines itself over time, but the essence of what it is does not change. The biological component, Lennon Honor, this being that we call Lennon Honor, it is in this transformative process, always changing. Tomorrow is going to be totally different. And 10 years from now, it's going to be totally different. It's subject to the spiritual, the physical laws that govern this universe, time, space, gravity, etc. It's subject to this concept of death, meaning the biological entity at a certain point, it's going to cease to exist, wherein that biological entity is married to something else in the ethereal realms that is not subject to those particular laws that govern this reality. And in this sense, if we can reconstruct our identity, if you will, to not identify exclusively as a biological entity and to recognize the wholeness of our existence and to perceive the essence of what we are as being the source of who we are, then we are in a much more empowered place, because now we are spirituality itself being bestowed upon this biological entity through disciplining its thoughts, disciplining its words, disciplining its actions. We bring consciousness to the biological entity that we call the human being. We bring spiritual illumination to the biological entity. But in order to have this orientation, we must completely reconstruct our relational model that we have to the universe, that we have to the cosmos. And this is the primary message of the book.
Wow. So that's so much. It's brilliant, everything you said. It's much of on the same line of what Jesus had said, which is, I'm in the world, not of it. And it's a matter of, like you said, not getting lost. I like that spiritual amnesia, because that's what it is. We forget we're in this play and we become too much a part of the character. And next thing, we start identifying so much with that character and we forget, wait a minute, it's just a play. So I want to, if we can, we're going to take just a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to expand more on that spirituality, spirituals, and getting caught up in the human part of it. And then the phrase star seeds and what your thoughts are on that. Okay. So everybody, a great show. Lennon Honor is our guest tonight here on Psychic Access. Myself, Steve, Brenda and Maureen are all going to be back. Give us just a short little break, and we'll be back after this.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Psychic Access Talk Radio with myself, Brenda, Maureen, and Steve, and our special guest tonight, Lennon Honor. And we are talking about his book, Deep in the Gardens of Consciousness, and now also talking about star seeds and how we tend to get lost in the spirituality. When do we be spiritual? When do we be human? Can we integrate both of them? And one of the terms that I had come across before was called star seed. And I don't know if you're like me, you kind of read some of these things, these descriptions of star seeds or indigo children or crystal children, I think is also one of the other names or labels that are put on these kids. But you can read it and it almost makes sense. Like a lot of it really fits for your life. And star seed kind of fit for me too, where sometimes there is that longing, there's an excitement. I'm constantly looking up at the stars. I so badly want to see a UFO that I can't believe I haven't seen one by now, but I haven't, and so want to. Feeling some of the aloneness and separateness sometimes from human, just being human, it makes me laugh. And sometimes I catch myself watching humans and then saying, oh, humans, they're so funny. You know, aren't we just a funny species, how we do things? And Lennon, I would love to hear your thoughts on starseed. You have a kind of a 5-minute YouTube video on starseeds. Can you just give me your thoughts on what you believe a starseed is, or how this started making sense for you?
Yeah, and I would say that there are many different, because even if for those of you who are listening, if you go online and you begin to search, you'll start to see that there are, it's almost like different denominations of starseeds. you know, one denomination, they have a particular type of ideology, and the next one have a different one, and there may be little contradictions here and there and so forth and so on. So I would always encourage people to make sure you do your own research into the topic, and then also make sure that whatever does not resonate with you, you discard that, and what resonates with you, that's what you accept, or that's what you perceive to be something that's relevant to you. And I was asked a question. I do a live video stream on my website, lindenhonor.com, every Sunday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And someone had asked inside the chat room, what are my thoughts about star seeds? And it's interesting because as I spoke with my wife about this, many of the concepts that are presented in terms of what star seeds are and what's taking place in terms of star seeds is if there's a lot of that information actually correlates to some of the information inside of my book. So I found that to be interesting. But then there are also some other aspects that do not necessarily correlate. So what I do is I look at the concepts that resonate with what I internally recognize as being my own personal truth, and the rest I discard. But part of this, the starseed concept is that there are individuals here who are on the planet who have a specific mission that is somewhat unique from others. And sometimes they are given different names. And you gave reference to a couple of them. You said crystal, some they say crystal children or indigo children.
Right.
Another term that is used is light workers. Yeah, and within, you know, whatever denomination of the star seed that, you know, any given person adheres to, there's also other aspects that may be presented, and then another one that may not necessarily be presented. And one of the aspects that's presented is that, you know, these star seeds have DNA that's activated, and then this kind of makes them special, and therefore they're able to operate here on the planet to a different capacity. They have different spiritual gifts, they have different spiritual insights, and so forth and so on. And then there's this other concept that is also attached in many cases to the concept of star seed. And this is that the star seeds, in terms of, you know, over the millennia, they are sourced from genetic manipulation that took place on Earth by extraterrestrial beings. Right. So now we get into things like Pleiadians and reptilians and Anunnaki, Elohim, what they call the Galactic Federation of Light. Now, all of these things, these are not things that I necessarily prescribe to. And the reason why, and I think that this is probably the most important thing that I can say on the topic, is that anytime we begin to set up a hierarchy, anytime we begin to see something as being outside of ourselves, where we no longer embrace this wholeness or the oneness of all, anytime we begin to perceive one person as being more progressed in the hierarchy and someone else is lesser down in the pecking order, you get the division amongst the species. And these levels of division are problematic because when we talk about the spiritual evolution of the species, the most empowered mechanism or means of empowering the species is not to divide it, but to rather see it as being something that is a holistic thing that is in the spiritual pursuit, that is in the spiritual process of transformation, but that is in this quest to fulfill a particular spiritual contract that is related to the great, what I call the Great Earth Mother. Now, real quickly here, the Galactic Federation of Light, it is said that about 4 million years ago it was established, and these are beings, extraterrestrials from Pleiades and all these different places that have engaged in this calling, if you will, to assist the Earth in its spiritual progression. And I want to say this for those of y'all who are listening in. And please don't take it personally if you consider yourself to be a starseed, because in truth, the concept
or a reptilian.
Yeah, or a reptilian, shapeshifter, what have you, or a crystal.
You don't want to upset them. They're very cranky from what I hear. So.
Yes, they might shapeshift on you. How a crystal is defined sets up a division amongst the species. How the indigo is defined sets up a division amongst the species. And I can tell you that the in terms of the checklist for the indigo and crystal, my own personal experience as a child fits into those check marks. Okay? So I can say I am a crystal, I'm an indigo, but I recognize that in terms of my own spiritual progressions, I can't place those divisions. I can't see myself as being external of another human being. I can't see myself as being external of my wife. I can't see myself as being external of you, Bobby, or you, Brenda, or Maureen, or Steve. I can't see myself as being somehow more gifted or more special. And so in this sense, it's problematic because we have these divisions that are set up. And what takes place when we place all these divisions is the externalization of power. Because now you have to be special if you're going to be able to do something special on planet Earth. Now you right. have to be an indigo, or you have to be a crystal, or you have to be a Pleiadian contactee or an extraterrestrial contactee in order to do something positive to transform the quality of our life existence here on the planet Earth as a human species. And I propose to you all that none of us, we don't have to be special. We just must be. We must be, right. and we must realize our wholeness. See, all of the externalizations is the result of a lack of understanding of the full breadth of what we are. We may know who we are, and it makes us feel alone, because if we identify as who we are, we look at in terms of the various divisions that is placed, we feel alone now. I felt like this in my life. Why do people get this? Why do I feel I don't feel like I'm part of this system? Yeah, that's because I'm identifying exclusively as a biological entity that I call a human being. I haven't embraced the full breadth of my existence as an ethereal being that is married to in spiritual contract with my biological component here on planet Earth. So this is to say that though the starseed concept can be empowering to people, I've also realized that many of these, when we begin to identify and are being defined along certain terms, it also functions as limiting agents to where now yeah. there's a hierarchy that is set up. And I will say that I have seen individuals who have spoken about starseeds, and you can see in their whole persona this idea that somehow the rest of the human beings, they're less than I am. And I'm here because I'm special, and I'm here to help them. And I want everyone to know, we are all special. Therefore, none of us are special.
And that's we don't the thing. Have to and be a there's too much comparing to that goes on between everybody else. And there are some people who will reach this type of visions where, you know, doing the work for other people like myself and my co-hosts. And then there's other people who could do that. It's like, you know, we always compare it, or at least I do, always compare it to singing. Most people can sing. You can be an opera singer, or you can sing in the backyard at a picnic. Or some people just don't want to sing at all. And that's fine. Not everybody wants to do this or even have any kind of a desire. But I think you're right. It sets up a whole new set of limitations because they're not special enough, or they don't have the talents or the gifts or that type of thing. So I completely agree with all of that as well. And if one person's special, then, you know, we all are. It's just not everybody wants to do the type of work that we're all doing.
Yes. And some of us have other commitments, right? We have other right. responsibilities while we're here on Earth. I can tell you that if I had spent the amount of time that I practiced as a musician as a child, the same amount of time as an adult, I would be a world-class musician, and people would know me around the world as a musician right now.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, when I met my wife and we started to have children, I realized, well, I have a greater calling than that, right? There's something else that I'm here to do, and I can't take care of my children. I can't be a father to my children and be present in their lives every single day if I'm touring the world as a musician. You see, so this notion, whatever the special gift that we may have, and my special gift at an early age was music. It doesn't mean that that's exactly what we must do. There's other things that we are here to do as well. And the notion, now, if I had taken the approach that if I had this perception that because I had this musical gift at an early age that somehow I was better than everyone else, then it was probable that I would have went ahead and became a world-class musician, because I've had it's almost like this stigma in my mind, like somehow in order for me to continue to be better than someone or to make a contribution to the world, the only means and mechanism I'm going to be able to do that is through music because I'm special.
Right.
But I've realized that my greatest contribution is to be a husband to my wife and a father to my children. So we're not all here to do the same thing. And anytime we set up these hierarchies to make ourselves seem, you know, more grandiose than someone else, we're actually disempowering the collective consciousness, if you will, of the species. Right. And this is, I guess, if someone want to call it a criticism, you can call it a criticism. But I'm just speaking in terms of what I have seen and what I have read. And I want everyone to know that we are all special and we are all gifted. And just because you may think that you're a crystal, don't think that you're more special than someone else. Or if you don't think that you're a crystal, don't think that crystals are somehow more special than you or less special than you. The idea is realize what you are here to do. And recognize that you are part. See, let me just say this. Part of the challenge is
keep going, Lennon. You're on a roll, buddy. Keep going.
Let me just say this, because this is the one of the challenges that I've seen. That whenever we externalize power, we go on this quest to find something that, in essence, we already are. See, the essence of what we are is spiritual in the first place, and so. So and for many of us, because we've been put in a system where we feel alone, we've been butchered and battered and we've been demeaned, we have to find something to give us power. And so sometimes it's the classification. Oh, I'm a crystal. I'm an indigo. I'm African-American. I'm a Christian. I'm European. I don't know. I'm a boxer. Whatever the case may be, to try to summon the power. so that we can have an identity that people will recognize. Oh, now they can relate to me because now I define myself. But in essence, what we do is we limit ourselves and we go on this quest to find something that we perceive to be outside of ourselves. But if we take a holistic approach, we will realize that what we are seeking is the essence of what we are in the first place. So then why not just change the relational model around? Just flip it upside down and see yourself not as this human being that must externalize power and identify with a word or a phrase, crystal, indigo, Pleiadian, reptilian shapeshifter. Why not just flip it around and just say, look, I am, in essence, what I am is spirituality in the first place. And I'm here to spiritualize this human being. See, this is a much more empowering approach in terms of the spiritual progression of the species. And this approach also makes it necessary for us to be personally responsible for this biological entity that we call human being. And there's nothing courageous about simply defining ourselves to summon up the power. I'm white. I'm black. I'm Christian. Well, I'm Muslim. And it makes people feel empowered because now we're part of a cause. The ultimate cause is the cause within. But one must know thyself in the first place. And the essence of knowing thyself is to recognize not just who you are, but what you are. And when you realize what you are, that all of the different means and mechanisms of control, meaning the divisions and the classifications, it begins to disseminate itself unto the level of irrelevancy. It becomes what I call the fine mist around a blazing sun. And that fine mist will dissipate in time because as that sun continues to vibrate and begin to pulsate, and to express its brilliance, all of that fine mist dissipates. Well, these are the illusions that we hold. And many of those illusions put us in these boxes, these comfortable boxes that makes us feel empowered. But ultimately, we must remove the box, remove the veil, and recognize that we are all part of a wholeness. And that wholeness is the empowerment of the human species, not the divisions.
Wow. That was amazing. That's
and I'm sorry,
everything.
And I'm sorry for going
everything
off
is
here.
Perfect. What you said, it's all falling into labels and perceptions and concepts that we identify with so much. And it's those very identifications that we lose ourselves. And when you can get past or beyond, and like you said, just make it more general, we're spiritual beings here doing this work and in source. That's a great place to start. And then what you are, from what I've discovered, is like the sun through clouds. It just begins to shine and just becomes less and less obscure, and it just shines even more so. And that's what lets you know what you are. So I think that's brilliant. You're right. There's such a pressure. I've talked with so many people who said, oh, a psychic told me I was a light worker, or a psychic told me I had these gifts and I was a crystal, like you said, or an indigo. And they're telling me I'm going to be changing and helping so many people. I don't know how to, or I don't know where to start, or I'm not sure what to. And I think that we have a certain responsibility ourselves in what we tell people, because if we make them feel special, then all of a sudden there's this huge pressure because one special person tells another person they're special. Now they have to live up to something. I've met them like 10 years later. They said 10 years ago, this psychic told me this, and I'm struggling because I don't know what I'm supposed to do or how to do it. And it's driving me crazy, and it can do a lot more harm than good.
Yes, that's a very important point. And I've seen that in people, and I've actually seen that in myself, to be honest with you. I remember I went to a tarot card reader one time. This was long ago, before I met my wife. I was just out of college. And she said so many different things that made me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I'm going to do some fascinating things. And guess what? Some of those things actually kept coming to pass. But there are some of those things that I was looking forward to. I was like, oh, wow, I can't wait till I get to that point in my life. And so I go on this quest to try to actualize these things, but we can't actualize anything that we haven't done the work to actually manifest. This is to say that the personal refinement is what brings about the vision. It's not the vision that brings about the personal refinement. Okay, that's not the pathway. The pathway is if you have a vision of something, then you have to put in the work to actually get there. And so for many of us, we've been told and we have been told that we are special. We've been told what's going to happen in our lives. And it's almost like you put the horse carriage in front of the horse, and we don't feel like we have to do much work, or we struggle to try to figure out how do we get that horse in front of the carriage. And then we get lost along the way. And then 10 years later, we feel all down about ourselves because someone told us that we were special and we're going to do all these things, but it never came to pass. So you're absolutely right. The pressure that we put on ourselves, and part of that, again, is the externalization of power. You know, at that time in my life, I externalized power. I didn't feel like I had the capacity to have clear vision in terms of how my life was going to pan out. So I had to go to someone else to give me guidance. And there are times in our lives where we need to do that, but we shouldn't do that, you know, in the midst of not actually doing something constructive in our lives to kind of move our life forward. And I would say that there are people who go to, you know, the tarot card reader, or there are people who have asked me for consultations who are not interested in doing personal work. They just want to feel good about themselves. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if to be quite honest with you, feeling good about yourself is not going to change the quality of your condition or the quality and the state of affairs on planet Earth. What's going to change the quality of your condition and the state of affairs on planet Earth is your own personal refinement. And guess what? As you refine yourself, you will feel good. But you can't feel good first. You got to do the work first to feel good. And you got to do the work first in order to change the nature of our reality here on planet Earth.
And it has to be done yourself. You're right. We grow up. We have a loving grandmother that tells us you're special, you're wonderful, you're all of that. And then the grandmother passes from this earth, and what we once thought came from her, all those good feelings, we're searching for those good feelings again because we believe that it comes from outside of ourselves. And if you can't do the work inside yourself, because nothing's permanent and it doesn't come from the outside. So I love how many topics that we seem to really connect with and seem to just so much have in common, Lennon. And you coming on the show tonight has just been, you know, you're one of those guests that I enjoy talking to so much that when I look up and we're down to our last minute of the interview, that we could totally have another hour of you on the show. And I so love that. So thank you for agreeing to come onto the show. And I really appreciate it. Tell everyone how we can get a hold of you and, like, maybe just a short what's coming up next for you.
Yeah, sure. My main website at this point is linenhonor.com. I have another website, linenhonorfilms.com. I'm also on Facebook if you'd like to contact me or connect with me there under Linen Honor, L-E-N-O-N-H-O-N-O-R. And on my website, linenhonor.com, I have a weekly video stream, a live video stream that I do at 10 a.m. on Pacific Standard Time every single Sunday. So I would encourage people to come on over and check that out. And at this point, I also have premium content listed on linenhonor.com. You get all the information on linenhonor.com. All of my upcoming works will be posted there on linenhonor.com. So if you're interested in any of my future works, you can visit there. All of my older works, head on over to linenhonorfilms.com. And I want to thank you, Bobby, and I want to thank Brenda. And I didn't get a chance to say hello to Maureen or Steve, but I want to thank you all as well. I do appreciate it, and I must say that I appreciate your energy as well. You know, sometimes
thank you very much.
As we're on radio shows, we talk and we talk and we talk, and we don't sometimes we don't recognize, but in some cases we don't give recognition to the energy that is present. I just want to state for the record that I do appreciate your energy. And sometimes just to be in the presence of this type of energy, it makes our journey not as lonely, if you will. And we have to connect.
That's so very true. Very true. Well, I'm sorry that you didn't get to talk to Maureen and Steve. They actually go to sleep during the show. So there's Maureen there. Hi, Maureen. We were just talking about you. Oh, my God. That's
great show. Great show.
Yeah. All right, Lennon, thank you so much, sir. I will definitely be in touch. And I hope that we have an opportunity to talk with you again.
It would be my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Great, Lennon. Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Lennon Honor. Let me just spell that for you. It's L-E-N-O-N, and then his last name is Honor, H-O-N-O-R. Just put them together, lennonhonor.com, and then the contact information is also on the guest page at the Psychic Access Talk Radio. So, wow, just so amazing. You know, I love it when just, again, a guest just talking and point after point after point just hits home. I mean, it's just so many, how did you put it in there, Brenda? So many real truths that just hit home. That's just so awesome and very.
It's universal truths.
It is. And you can't, it all says the same thing, but I love hearing it. It's that one phrase or catchphrases that you just never get tired of hearing about. So. Anyway, again, my thanks to Lennon for coming on the show. Definitely want to have him back. So let's make just a few announcements now. Before the second half, we're going to start coming up. Probably it's going to be about another 15 or 20 minutes, so don't jump the gun yet. But we are going to take phone calls. But just want to be able to announce to stay tuned for the second half of the show, or we could all be quiet and listen to Steve typing on his computer. Let's listen to the furious, the furious fingers flying.
Sorry, I took myself off mute for a moment.
That
was meant to be.
Again, real people.
Like, really? And not at the same time. That could be dangerous to the computer. We just wanted to be sure to let everyone know, don't do this at home. We are professionals. So stay tuned again for the second half of the show. We'll have you call in for a free on-air reading. We have all of our gifted psychics here. We'll announce the call-in number again just a little bit later, 15, 20 minutes or so. And so make sure that you have something to write it down with. We'll give out the telephone number. But if you're also unable to catch last week's show, it was Psychic Healing with Heidi Goodrich. You'll find that recorded archive link as well as the archives of all of our previous show on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Just go to the archives tab, hit that. You'll find all of our shows there. And then, of course, if you want to, it would be great if you would circulate the archive links, put it on your Facebook, send it to your friends, and some of the future show details. There's a lot of topics that we cover that your friends and family might be interested into. Of course, we want to connect with you and as many people as we can. So please share the link with other people as well. And then, if you need information, there's a lot of people who really like to read all the articles and stuff like that. Our psychic site also carries that, psychicbloggers.com. You can learn everything about paranormal, reincarnation, the how-tos of your own psychic development. And if you're interested in reading from some of the best professional psychics on the net, just go to psychicaccess.com and you'll find the best verified, accuracy-tested psychics. Each have their own unique gifts. We cover just about everything. Every psychic has a detailed profile that you can just look at. You can find out more about them. You can find out about their talents, their gifts, their abilities. Choose from the list. And again, these are very authentic psychics. They're all around. So it's an honor to work with all of them. And then Doug, who helps us run the show, of course. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do, and the high expectations that he has of every single person that works at Psychic Access. So all of the co-hosts as well here, Maureen, Brenda, and Typing Steve, are part of the Psychic Access Radio Network, as well as PsychicAccess.com. If you want a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us also at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. We will be, in fact, I think most of us will be on after the show as well, that you can get in touch with us. Other ways that you can help yourself out and help us out, site owners, and also if you're a webmaster, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading of traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So all you need to do to find out more information about that is visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And remember, if you do like our show, please invite your friends to join us. If you don't like our show, keep your mouth shut. Okay, I'm kidding. Listen to, join us in our chat room. Listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody. Help us spread the word. We'd very much appreciate it. All right, are you ready? It's time not to call in now, but it's time for the number for the readings. As soon as we have a little chit-chat amongst ourselves, it's 724-444-4851. Maureen just posted that in our chat room for everyone there. Please give us a call. And again, we'll be doing free readings for everyone coming up in about 20 minutes or so. I'll let you know exactly when it's time to call in. So meanwhile, back to hitting some of the points of the show. Maureen.
Yes.
Are you there, lovely? Hello.
That was a great interview. Very good interview, Bob.
He really is amazing. There was nothing to interview. He runs it himself. He was just self-generating. It was awesome. And, really it was just me responding, isn't it? Because he was great.
Well, he has a passion. A passion is really... was really, I mean, it was right out there. It was great. It was really good.
Yeah. Now, what about you? So individuals, humans in this life, do you think that there's only one purpose for us to accomplish? Is there just that one passion? We get that all the time, don't you? What's my passion? What's my purpose?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's just one. Do you?
No. You know, I feel that, we can, for me, okay, this is where I'm coming from. That depending on what's going on in our life, our environment, and for me, like it was a destruction path. most of my earlier years in most of my adult life. It was a life of destruction, but
that was just last week. Yeah. Right. You're talking.
And I woke up, then I woke up.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, we all have these, we all have these, like, it just occurred to me now that I am an aged woman.
Season
of 90. And I feel that I finally got it, that it's like we have these different missions. And at the time when, you know, I felt emotional isolation when I was growing up, I too was raised in an alcoholic family. I heard you speak of your, quickly of your connection with that. And also the fact is of feeling that emotional isolation and all that, it's not that I felt special. I didn't feel of this world, but I do know that later, what would come later would be a daughter, which I didn't really have any thoughts. That was my life, one of my life's purpose. Now, I was told I'd never have children. Well, she came. Then it was like, again, the changing of my life purpose was to the job of that, raising her by myself. Then it was my father. So, you know, it was my work and all that. Is someone making noises out there?
Sounds like one of Brenda's horses, actually.
That's my cat. She has to get down. One diva.
You're sabotaging my little speech.
Sorry. I'm sorry. She rubbed up against it purring.
We like purring. We like meows.
I thought it was Steve purring for a moment.
And one of our missions is to meow. Meow.
See, that's a purpose, isn't it? Cats are supposed to purr, right?
You know, but I do feel that in our culture, like, we do have, we may travel life's paths in one or two ways. In Handmaid's Shoes, I always like to refer to the red shoes, which is, you know, a story that we all should know. But in Handmaid's Shoes, which are crafted with love and care according to what's unique for us individually, our soul. If we have a soul, we all have this ability to make something on our own. Or a lot of times where I've been in this predicament, I've been in this place in red shoes, which is like a promise of instant fulfillment. But that will it will ultimately lead us, though, to a painful and hollow split of existence, too. So yeah. I think part of my purpose was for that, too, as well. So
I just think there's so many. It's just following, you know, I like the phrase, follow your bliss. But it's just the many different passions that come up, and they change and they grow and they expand throughout the years. You know, Lennon was talking about musical and you know, being a musician and stuff. I'm a professional singer as well, and I love, of course, you're in the source, and it's just completely, you know, when you're locked in and just singing, it takes me completely out of the psychic aspect of everything. And so that's why I love it. It's not an escape, but at the same time, it's something completely different of being in source. No, you know what I mean?
You rise to the occasion. It's almost like a feeling. It's like you rise to the occasion. It's a really nice place to be. You know, like children, you'll see them walking. Like when my daughter used to do this, but when they're before they're, you know, 10 or whatever. But she was 3 and this car was driving by with some hip-hop music because it was that time period. And she starts just dancing, and it was like we're walking down this cool street that where we lived. And there's a lot of people out. And she just started standing there dancing, you know.
Yeah. And people love that, don't they?
But the fact is, I was watching her going, that is such a cool thing. She's right in her purpose right there.
Yeah.
You know?
And if we were to do it, people would look at us strange.
That's right.
You know,
and,
isn't that something?
Exactly. So there's my purpose of talking about that. There you have
Brilliant.
It.
Brilliant. Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you.
So, Steve, why is it that you think, and is it just because we're coming up to the 2012, or is just this time in the spinning of the earth that we're seeing such different energies arriving on the planet? Why do you think that is? Again, is it just this age that we're living in or even coming up to? Steve, don't make me ask again. Sorry. Steve always takes these dramatic pauses, and it's so funny because I'm used to, you know, I'm used to being on air and stuff. And whenever you have dead air, it's like, oh my God, does he hear me? What's going on?
I'm here. But before I answer your question, I wanted to just share something interesting about cats, because I know that Brenda's cat played up. And it was interesting because I find animals so in tune with each other. Just as Brenda's cat played up, one of my cats played up at the same time. I remember when we did the animal telepathy show, my cats were just going crazy throughout that show. They were running around and playing. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man.
They were usually quite calm this time of the evening. And the other day I decided to experiment with telepathy with my cats, because one of them goes off the terrace and outside. The other two don't really leave the property. And rather than going outside and calling him and standing out in the cold, I decided I would just call him telepathically from the house. And I've tried it a few times, and every time he comes back straight away.
Wow.
It's fascinating. Animals are just incredibly in tune with
us. Well, they're never out of tune. It's not an I think it's living tuned, you know, that they never come out of that. And I don't doubt, you know, when you talk about that, with everything that we're talking about tonight, that Brenda's cat doing that and your cat purring up, I think it's the energy. It's the show that we're talking about and the topics.
I know. And, you know, building a bridge between this point about cats and how sensitive they are, and your question, Bobby, about the different energies on our planet and the energies that new children, new little beings or spirits are bringing to our planet. You know, they're very sensitive, more in tune.
Yeah,
I'm amazed by how alert spiritually young children are. And in my mind, this is happening because we're evolving. You know, if you think of our use of the internet, our use of technologies, we are becoming more interconnected. Now, I live in the States, my family live in Europe, and I can see what they're up to on Facebook instantaneously. Right. So we're becoming more integrated, and the technologies that we're developing are simply reflective of our evolution, the evolution of our brains, of our organism. And the children that are arriving here are far more in tune. They're far more telepathic, generally. And they're here to play different roles. I loved all of the discussion about purpose. I'm very passionate about helping people to understand their purpose, the role they want to play in the world.
Right.
And these kids, these new energies that are arriving are here prepared to play new roles and to really shift us forward.
I hope so, because I'm seeing that a lot in kids as well, and living more just in that, from that true nature, that true source. And we, as parents at this generation, are recognizing that they're doing that, encourage them to do so. Whereas back in the older generations, they either just called you crazy, you need to settle down, put a lid on it, you know, the many different phrases that we, a backhand once in a while, you know, to get us to calm the heck down. And I think now parents are being more encouraging of that expression. So I absolutely agree. I think that's awesome. So Brenda, you've had experience with starseeds, or what has been that experience?
Well, I have to tell you, when he was talking about the starseeds, I have, and I can only relate it to a story that I have about one of my clients and her granddaughter. This child was very special. I could look in her eyes, and I knew she wasn't from this world. And I knew that I could feel that she was only not even 3 years old, and she moved in and out of her body a lot. And she did this to deal with a lot of stress that happened in her personal, you know, with her situation with her mother and all of this. And she did, she passed over rather tragically, but I knew from the first time that I looked in her eyes that she was only visiting, you know, and she was very special. And everybody that she touched at her early age, and she was speaking before she could even walk. I mean, it was that I've seen starseed children. I mean, they're pretty amazing, but sometimes they don't stick around for a long time. See what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and you just get that feeling. It's really weird, because I just really resonated with what you said about you just look in their eyes and you just know they're just visiting. I love that phrase.
She was kind of visiting, and then, you know, animals and children have the same. I think that innocence and negativity are related, and it's multidimensional. It's not only, you know, physical or emotional. It's also kind of like a spiritual type of innocence that animals have, and young children too. And they're part of the whole microcosmic energy. And, you know, I like the fact that he was talking about, you know, I really resonated when he went to the psychic and he had the reading, you know, because we're all attuned into that whole stream too. Do you see what I mean?
Exactly.
So we can relate on those levels. You know, everybody really can. Everybody's got this. They just aren't tapped into it, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of fear in there. There's more security and suffering for people.
Yeah, but it's all around us. It's just right outside of our consciousness. And, you know, the star seeds, they live in it, you know?
I just love all of that. I was, it may be too long of a story. I had a quick story of between my almost 3-year-old son and a gang member, but that's another time.
I bet that's going to be an interesting one.
That'll be the title of next week's show. Starseed and gang member. How about that?
Versus. You have to put versus.
Oh yeah. Oh, no, you got to do the verses. Yeah. So Maureen, like all of us, and I know that, and again, I just speak for me personally. I love how you always preface the things it is that you say with that, because I so do that as well to say, in my experience, this is just for me and what I've come across, but I have a feeling that all of us have had our clients that call us up and want direction about relationships and where's this going to go and is this the one? And they just all want us to tell them so much if the relationship's going to be okay before they even go into the relationship. Like if this guy is not going to be worth my time, I don't want to go into it, you know, or can you tell me like that? And so then it's like, well, everybody's worth your time, aren't they? Because that's how you learn and grow and decide what kind of a relationship you want. So it's very frustrating, can it be, sometimes when a client calls in that way?
Yeah. Yes. And you know,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this is my point of view because, you know, I'm not in it. Well, never mind about that. But you know, our world is changed. We are in the process of the shift and everything, but we have been in a soulless world, which has always encouraged faster, quicker, and thrusting about, you know, like, and so find that one fragment that seems to be that big, that one that will burn forever, you know, that man, that woman, whatever. But it's a miracle that the miracle is that we are even seeking, it takes a lot of time to find it. So it brings, it makes time to bring it to life. But, you know, to love pleasure takes little, but to love authentically takes a hero that can manage his or her own fear. That's what people are just need to be still for a moment. So it's not so surprising, you know, that many people are they become confused and tormented as we do in trying to help, or as I have become. And it's almost like, again, I talk about the red shoes. It's a Hans Christian Andersen story because it talks about the dance, a mad dance. So people are crazy and going around, but they're unable to stop the frantic, rapid footwork, you know, and so they whirl right past the stuff in their deepest hearts. They may treasure the most. So people call this, you know, psychologists call this, you know, fear of intimacy, fear of commitment. But those are only symptoms because it's like the running and hiding phase of people, or they could say, I can do better, or I don't want to give up my blank, 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 or I don't want to change my life, la, 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 la. So what happens is they're going around circles. And so they're running away from relationships with somebody, or they're, you know, how you said it perfectly. People go, well, is he the one? I don't really want to, you know, and you said everyone is worthy of something. You know how people want to go faster, faster, faster. They want everything so quick. So instead, it is not about running away from love or the pressures of relationships. It's about trying to outrun the mysterious, like life and death, life force of things. And that's where you get to the psychology diagnosis of fear, intimacy. And really, when it comes down to it, it's like, it's only trust is required and it's to know when there is one ending, there will be another beginning. So, it's just truly living in authentically, I feel, in a relationship. But, you know, it's hard for people.
It is very tough, and because I think we all put end results on everything. We want, like you said, this to be the one. There's got to be an end cap on it. Where is this headed? What's in it for me? And mm-hmm. all of that, instead of just simply going through the process of loving somebody, whether it be for a week or whether it be for 20 years, like some people are very fortunate to have the love of their life, and they're married for 65, 70 years. And we all just have this ideal, and I think that, you know, the one, everybody keeps talking about is this the one, and it's like everybody's the one, aren't they? They all add into, again, what it is that you want or don't want in a relationship. Everybody's
it's work. Special, it's a lot know. Of work. It's a lot of work. And you know, it's a lot of work. And people want everything quick. It's just work. You need to put the work in. And I guess it's talking about the work. It's the work. And also to manage your own fear. You know?
Yeah.
There you have
Very
it.
Very good. There it is. Thank you. Thank you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
All right. So I'm going to find out. I think we're going to start taking phone calls, if that's all right with you guys, if you're all ready. Anyone who's in the chat room, give us a call. 724-444-4851. And we'll just start taking your phone calls now. I'll take it up to the end of the show. And we're going to start with Brenda, who has her first caller from New York.
Hello, New York.
Hello.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Well, yes, I can. What would you like tonight? What would you like to know?
Well, I'm calling in because I'm kind of, I guess, at a rock bottom. I've been looking for work for probably about 4 months now. Mm-hmm. I've been alone for about 11 years. Just discharged from the military about a year ago, and I'm trying to start school and just really alone and isolated, trying to stay positive, being sober, and lost my income. So that's kind of my issue. That's kind of where I'm at. So I'm just looking for any really hope or positive input. Really,
okay.
At the time.
Well, the first thing that I see here is that there's an awful lot of good things, positive things, right outside of, you know, what you see in your reality right now. The financial end looks like it's going to balance itself. I see some information and some opportunity coming from the past that's going to give you a little bit of a boost in the next 2 to 3 within the next 2 to 3 months. So it'll start, and then after that, I do see a solid job opportunity. Did you already send out a bunch of resumes in the past 3 months?
I got an offer by this MetLife financial thing. Mm-hmm. The only problem with that is I couldn't work that job and go to college because I'd be in there 10 days or 10 hours a day. So he said,
right.
You know, think what you want to do about school. I've sent out a ton. Oh, yeah, a ton. And it's just always been like, oh, you're in school, you know, your hours. So that's kind of why I haven't found anything, but I've put out a ton of applications, yeah.
Well, I feel that I see very soon, this is right, I'm seeing right around the middle of March, I see an opportunity that, and it looks part-time, though, it doesn't look full-time. It looks part-time in which you can, and it feels like it's related to contracts in some way. And it is going to bring abundance. It's going to bring some new money sources, and it's related to stuff you've done from in the past. And you'll jump into it. I feel that it's good to go for it because it's everything that we do in life kind of prepares us for our next step. And I believe that this job with these contracts prepares you for something that you're taking in school right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of discerning being a lawyer. I'm in criminal justice, and I really want to go into law. But
mm-hmm.
It seems like the world is challenging me about that because it seems like every time I pull up the computer, I always see something about lawyers, but it's always like, I just read something about students now suing law school because they can't find work, and I don't really think that's, I think that's kind of radical, but that's obviously, that's hefty going to law school.
Well, I feel that you're going to make your way in this. It's very valid, and it keeps calling you. This is your truth. You need to go towards it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you're definitely you know, definitely uplifting right now at this point because I'm by myself and, you know what I'm saying, I have yet to, and I'm new in this town. I've only been here for about 6 months, so, and I'm not really sure if there's a relationship manifesting here. It doesn't seem like I've had any luck with that.
It feels like it steps, you know, the job situation comes first and you have a lot of hurt you have to let go from the past. And I don't see anybody from the past coming back. I feel once you get the finances balance in the next 2 months, it feels like you could be more open to meet somebody. You're just not ready now. And the universe senses that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's well understood. My main concern is having a clear direction in school and getting a job.
Well, you have to keep going. You have to press on, honey, okay?
All right. Thank you very, very much for your time. You take good care.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Great phone call. I like, I always like, you know, she just seems, the callers that are, you know, so absorbent, you know what I mean? Like, really just listen, and they kind of take it in, and it just makes you want to, I could just feel it, like, tapping into the information. The information just comes through more and more and more. Like,
yeah,
you just want to give them so much more. Yeah,
exactly. You
I
make
love
a connection
that.
With them.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. Let's take Maureen is going to be taking a caller next from Virginia.
Hello, from Virginia.
Hey, Maureen. How are you?
Fine. Who am I speaking to, please?
This is D.
Hi, D. D or B? I'm sorry.
B.
Hi, B. I see you in the chat room. and what can I help? What can I help you?
I have a question for you. I'm getting ready to go on a group trip next week. I've only know one person that's actually going. The rest of the, you know, just friends and associates of different people, whatever. Do you see a conflict or do you see me having a good time? I'm just a little,
interesting.
Little leery, so to speak.
Right. And it's interesting you see, I mean, there's probably a reason why. You know, actually, I feel you've been through a lot of – there's a reason why I'm sure you're asking me this question because this, you know, doesn't come up just because you've had some experience. You've gone through some really maybe with some of these group of people or the connection with the work or something. You've gone through a lot of intense what I call useful sacrifice, very painful. You've also – you know, it's almost like I feel that you haven't had a lot of support from – the people that really should be part of the feeling of the community, or the, you said it's a group of people. Like, what are they? Are there 10?
No, well, yes, yeah, 10, but they're friends of, you know, as the friend that I'm going with. So I don't know them. I don't know what
right.
type of people they are.
Well,
or anything. I've never interacted with them before.
Well, you know, I think it's. I feel this is going to be a very positive trip. I really do. I think it's going to be positive. I feel that you've been going through some things that. Maybe if not pertaining to these group of people, but going through some things that would make you feel a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, you're going through a healing. And so I feel that you might feel that you don't have it in you to carry a burden, like to be, this trip is going to be fantastic. I really do feel it's going to be good. But I know where you're coming from, I guess, is because of what I've seen you have, you're in and still going through that. You feel vulnerable, but this trip will actually be very well. You know, the thing of it is, with you, I feel that you need to really, really let go of this, perhaps. Do you tend to take on way too much on your back that belong to other people? You carry burdens for too many people. And it just comes naturally, and this is not your mission. it's not your mission. And like I said, I do feel that this trip is going to be very positive, and I see you getting some really good news, but I do feel that because I see what's coming out of, like, how you've been through so much intense pain. I mean, you know, I don't mean to go there too much, but you've gone through some pretty intense stuff, and it's, your wounds are open. But this trip, I don't think there's not going to be any issue whatsoever. In fact, I see a lot of really great new partnerships or friendships blending as well.
Okay.
It looks very positive. But I'm not saying you're not feeling this for whatever reason, but I do think that I understand where it's coming from. But I really am getting that this is going to be a very positive trip. And you really need this. And I know that you feel that a lot of your strength might, you have strength available, but I, like I said, bless your heart, you've gone through, you've done a lot of work at which you've gone through, and it's been painful. But this is a good, this is a good trip. I don't see any problems whatsoever. Well, I mean, okay. whatsoever, but I think it's going to be very positive.
Great. Thank you, Maureen.
Well, thank you, B. And you have a nice trip, really. Okay?
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Maureen.
Sure.
Sure, that's okay. We have our next caller from Ohio, and this one is for Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Bobby. Thank you. Who's calling from Ohio?
Leola.
Leola.
Yes.
Okay. I can only hear you, Leola, so try to speak up for me, please. What's your question, Leola? How can I help?
Yes, I wanted to know some information about my ex. Is he the father of a 2-year-old little boy?
Let's see. My guides are not giving you an answer, Leola. I feel drawn to yes 1 minute and then drawn to no the next. And I'd rather be honest with you about what they're showing me. My guides don't, they're not answering the question. And that means that at this point in time, they don't feel it's in your best interest to answer the question.
Okay. You said they can't, they're not answering the question.
They're not. I don't, they just don't seem to be giving an answer. And as I said, that to me always is a sign. It only happens occasionally, but it's a sign that right now you're not meant to know. I feel I'm drawn to the number 2, actually. I'm drawn very much to the month of February with you, and I actually am drawn to a grandmother or a great-grandmother that's giving me the name Bob or Barbara. Do you know your great-grandmother's names?
No, I don't.
Because I've got a lady here, and it's unusual for a person in spirit to come through when you're asking a very different question, you're not asking a mediumistic question. But check your family tree, because I've got this lady on your mother's side of the family, and I'm sure her name is Barb or Barbara, and she takes me to the month of February as an important month for her. And she's saying to you that it's as though your feelings for him don't change. Whether the child is his or not, it doesn't really change the way you feel about him. And you need to recognize that you left that relationship for a reason. This is what she's saying to me. And she's encouraging you to move forward. So although they're not my guides, and this lady, Barbara, I'm not giving you the answer to your question, they're giving me the strong feeling that you really should move forward. I just don't get the feeling that was the right relationship for you. And I don't get the feeling that looking back and trying to work it all out serves the right purpose for you. Do you understand?
Okay.
Can you hear me, Leola?
Yes.
Yeah, that they're saying very clearly to you, move forward. You need to set your sights on the future. And I don't feel you, so it was your choice and the choice of the other person, but I don't feel you going back into that relationship anyway. And I really feel that you need to move forward and put it all behind you. Because it's been quite some time that you've felt stuck in the energy of that relationship and unable to move forward. And they're saying to you, move forward. Okay?
Okay. All right.
I wish you lots of luck.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Delicate. Thank you, Steve. Next call is up from Pennsylvania. Hello, are you there? Hello, Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hi, hello. How are you? I said, hey, how are you? I said.
Are good, you there? I'm good. I am good.
Oh, there you go. Hi. Okay. Good.
There I go.
Hi. There you are. We can hear you now. What's going on? What can I do for you?
I guess my life is sort of in a turmoil, and I'm just sort of like, is this going to stop? I feel like I'm falling down a spiral staircase, and I can't stop. Everything seems to be going wrong.
Okay. Do you think it's going wrong, or do you think that you're just kind of labeling it as being wrong?
I'm currently out of a job. I'm fighting my unemployment case. I have a divorce settlement coming up here shortly. Okay. My husband, it's been a 4-year battle with that.
Okay. But again, a lot of these changes in your life, didn't you, back towards middle of last year, you were getting to such a point that you wanted change in your life. Something needed to change. It was reaching ahead. Something needs to give.
Yes.
Guess what?
Okay.
Try not to label what's happening to you as being a bad thing. I know that it looks that way because we've all been there. We've all been to that point. Have you ever heard the phrase of, you know, that God answers your prayers, but sometimes it's just not in the way that we anticipate or the way that we expect? When you send out that vibration that something needs to change, because frankly, something did, because you just had you were just fed up. This needs to stop. This isn't working for me. This needs to change. That's how powerful we are. And you've created all of that, and it's changing. It's okay that you don't have that job anymore, because the way that I'm looking at it, it wasn't really a good fit. You did what you were doing there, but you just kind of, it was like you were just in survival mode there. You know what I mean? Like you see what I mean? And so, and I don't feel that they were, this may seem a little honorary, a little mean, but frankly, they didn't deserve you. You know what I mean? It was, I think your talents lie much more than just that particular job. And the other things that are happening, these are just things that are breaking loose right now.
Okay.
But I know from inside of it, it seems like there's a spiral and a falling down and that type of thing. This is just the letting go, the releasing process, all of these types of things that happen that cause the change that we're wanting. I don't see it as a spiral. I don't see it like how you see it. I'm just looking at it from the outside, but it's very easy to discern it that way. But let's get to what the question is. Well, when does the dust die down? You know?
Yeah.
That's what we're wanting to know, because we just need to get stable again, right? So
exactly. I'm feeling very unstable.
Right, and we don't like that feeling. So there's a couple of things here. One, what I might recommend that you do is stop labeling it as falling down, chaos, life is turning to caca, any other things that we use to describe what's happening. I would stay out of that, okay? Try not to label it or judge the situation. And then secondarily, try to be okay with all these changes that are taking place. In other words, try not to you know, we don't like the unsteadiness. Well, you don't have to like it, but at the same time, just continue to allow it to happen. All of this shaking loose is absolutely necessary to put you where you need to be, and you will be there in about another month and a half. Okay, if you continue just to let it all die down and settle down. But remember, the more resistance that you add to what's happening right now, what's going to happen is you'll prolong all of it, and it won't die down as fast because you'll think you need to get in and help. Do you see what I mean? Are you with
yeah.
me? Okay, so continue to allow everything just to take place the way that it is, and it's okay that it does. This change was much needed. You've needed a change. You know, there's these different life cycles, I think, that a lot of us go through. I can pick out certain times in my life when things have changed, and this is one of those pivotal points for you, and it's needed to come. Frankly, you've kind of held this off for several years. Four, maybe 5 years, you've just held this off. Until finally, like we said last year, you just went, boom, this is it. Something needs to change. And you did. And that was brilliant. So that spiritual self aligned with the human self, like we were talking earlier about it on the show, and said, this needs to change. It was all in line. And again, boom, all of it's changing for you. And I think it's awesome because it's much needed. So this is good.
I guess.
All right. So again, give it another month and a half or so. Less resistance, and then it all starts. Then you'll start getting more passionate. In other words, start thinking about, gosh, what can I do? And you'll get inspired to go in particular directions, certain jobs, people that you'll meet around you that'll be much more supportive and beneficial, mutual relationships that will come into your life. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly, because I feel like I'm sitting in limbo, not doing anything, I've always tried to find the path. I've always tried to find focus on something to where I want to go, and I'm not getting that. I'm not getting anything, and I'm getting very frustrated.
Right, because I've always liked the saying that we always think that we're human doings instead of human beings, because we can't just sit there and let it happen. And one of my favorite analogies is when you're at a symphony concert, there has to be a pause between each of the songs, doesn't it? There has to be a limbo, right? So,
I have not had this. I have not experienced so much of this at one point in time.
Yeah. And so it's very unsettling, isn't it? When you don't, you're like, oh my God. Usually I'll have a week and then it'll get back to going again. But that's just because I think in the past, when something hasn't been going, you would pull up your big girl pants and just go, well, got to get through this. Can't just lie around, and boom, you would just force your way through it again. This is different. This is different, honey.
Yeah.
This is different. Okay. Allow yourself to simply go along with this limbo part, because this is the spiritual you coming more and expanding more. And it wants you just to rest a little longer, let the dust settle a little bit more. Okay?
And because I have myself so worked up, I am not resting.
Right. Exactly. You're not resting, and that's just resistance, pushing against what's happening. Okay?
Yeah, because I'm used to getting up and going 24/7, 7 days a week, 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and always being in the middle of something, you know, always doing.
Right. And knock it off.
And
okay.
Yeah.
All right, sweetheart. Listen, I'm really happy that you called in, and it's great. Go back and listen to it again, and it'll help you settle more into the beingness of it rather than doing, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much for calling in.
Uh-huh.
All right. Take care. Okay. Bye. All right. Next, we've got Brenda coming up with a caller from North Carolina.
Hi, North Carolina.
Oh, hey, Bobby. This is your. Hey, Maureen. This is Sharon. How are you all?
Hi there, Karen.
Hi. Oh, Sharon. It's Sharon.
Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
If you need translation, she has an awful thick accent. So
It's Brenda, too. Yeah.
Oh, Brenda.
Oh, hi, Brenda.
I'm the one giving the reading. You got me. You drew me, honey.
You then.
What do you need?
Well, I just got through crying a little bit over what I was going to ask, but I'm glad I did just in time. I have recently interviewed for a magistrate's job, and it went through my spiritual knowing guidance and felt like it was going to be for me, and it wasn't. And this seems to be a pattern in my life when I follow divine guidance, and I'm kind of wondering, how do I trust my knowing. I left an abusive relationship 11 years ago, and I've been focusing on doing something passionate and also trying to get financially stable. In the process, my kids were taken from me by my ex. I didn't have the money to have somebody fight for me. So my brother sends this email today saying, you need to think about your kids. You need to work. And I've done all kinds of jobs, and nothing lasts or nothing transpires. And so I'm thinking after 11 years, I don't think he understands the magnitude of what I've gone through. And my kids are the most important thing to me. And I'm wondering when this will end. And I'm sorry to cry.
That's okay, honey. And, you know, the pendulum always has to swing back the other way. And I do see that your kids are very present in your life. Do you spend a lot of time with them anyway?
I get to see them 5 days a month.
Okay. Well, I see that changing. I really do. And it's going to be due from some unexpected help. And it feels like it could come from family. And it's something that you can't even conceive of because they've been in this drama for a long time with you. But combined with some new information, legal information, it feels like you're going to join the fight again, and it feels like you're going to get to see your kids. What I'm seeing is that there's going to be, I see you more in control, and it has to do with getting a job, which I feel that March is a prime time to go towards something that it's not a very exciting job, but it's very steady, and it feels like it has something to do with government work or county work or something of that nature. And because I see that now that your focus, your prime focus is, you know, bringing your kids back into your life, I believe that it's possible for you to get joint custody. I do. I do.
Okay. I've been trying that for so many years to get.
But it's going to change, and it will change, and it could change. And when it changes, it's going to be like the blink of an eye.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that hope. I really needed it because I was spiraling downhill.
Well, you just have to keep, you know, this has brought you a lot of inner strength. Even though it's been painful, it's brought you a lot of inner strength. Mm-hmm. And it's also been filled with enlightenment on many levels. And the negative energy from your ex, it can't keep up. It just can't. It has to come back the other way, and it will. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all so much. And thank you, Bobby. Good to see you again or talk to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love you guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Next up, we have a caller from Mississippi for Maureen.
Hello, Mississippi. I love Mississippi State. Yes, I do. Hi. Hello. Mississippi.
Hello.
M-I-S. Hi.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
Hi. Fine. Who, Anna, how are you? I'm fine. And what's your name?
Romy.
I'm sorry. What was that?
My name is Romy.
Romy. Hi, Romy.
Hi.
And what can? Very nice to meet you. And what can I help you?
Nice. My question is when is my financial situation going to get better? It's been a turmoil for the last few years.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, you know, that's something we're sharing around. Well, it's like when the economy went, you know, this is what I'm getting. I feel that actually you have been, there was some, you know, sense of powerlessness. I'm not saying you did this or it was a bad thing or a good thing. It is clear that you, frustration will usually bring this on. And I think a lot of that has to do with we share in this world, a lot of us people feel this way. Things kind of took a really hard shift for us all. And with you, though, I feel that you've been overqualified for what you've been doing. Are you working at this time right now in work that you just are not – you're overqualified? I just see that it's like a – are you – Romy, are you working right now? In your business?
Yes, I am.
Okay, my feelings are this. You've mastered everything. You need to go to the next level. Are you self-employed?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm getting is with this is there's because I think there's some fear about what, you know, type of way to go about this. And that's, I can understand that. I can identify it with it. But what's happening is I feel that there's some other project or you need to launch or embark in or something that will, it may be like an ordinary to you, but it's something new that I feel would be extremely great. You know, you take an ordinary, my daddy's telling me, take an ordinary opportunity and make it great. You're capable of doing this. You need to take back your personal power. What's going on now, I just feel that it's almost like you're just at a standstill with what your business is right now, and it's you've gone beyond it. You're a master of it, and it could be like I said, a project of some sort. I do feel, and also you've had too many people tell, it's almost like there's too much commotion when there's too many people involved in this, and you do better trusting yourself. Is there some new idea that you can think of that maybe you don't think is the best idea or isn't going to be the greatest thing or whatever? I don't know. If there's something that you can focus in on, I really feel you, and also I feel it might have been something that you put aside years ago to get into.
Right.
Do you follow me? I really can't articulate what exactly. You follow me?
I follow you. Exactly.
Okay. And I do feel that is the key here. And now, this is the thing about harvesting it, I know it's frustrating, but like I said, Romy, I just get that what you're doing now is almost like it's not you. I think it's just not who really you are. You know, everybody that's in their own business or they're entrepreneurs and they see something that's so ordinary, but they can make it so extraordinary. And I feel you need to get back into that place. And I do see you thriving, but I know that you have these, you know, the stuff, this fears and all that stuff that we all have. But I say that you need to reflect back on what you've accomplished anyway in the past. You have it going on. It takes a special person to be able to make it in business. You know, no, we're all special, but you know what I mean? Forbes used to say the ones that make it are the ones that were too stupid to stop. You know?
Yeah.
It's so true. It really is. I know. From what I've experienced, but I do get really that almost like I do see something coming back to you, like not a thief taking something, but someone coming back to you to return something that they had taken. It could have been an idea or something else, but I do see some apology from some past, maybe business associated of some sort, which will make it feel better. But I do feel that you need to step it up and go for the other thing and focus on that. And I do see you thriving. You'll do well. Okay.
I'm trying. Actually, I'm trying different stuff, and that's where the fear is coming. That you know, like I'm in the like a transition situation. You know, like just you know, like taking off the old clothes and getting new ones, and in between the transition, and you know, it's like a fear that I don't have anything. You know, like I don't have anything on. And,
right.
Like I'm trying to do stuff, but do you foresee when it could happen? Because I've been taking action too.
This is what I'm getting. I feel within the next 2 months, there's going to be it's not going to be a complete, you know, you're not going to reach the goal, but in 2 months, I do see a movement. There's motion going on with that. And I feel within 5 to 7 months, you're going to be attaining some really great, you're going to see some benefits coming through from this project. But like within 2 months, I see it really starting to, the momentum going. Do you follow me on that? What I'm saying? In 2 months, and really, you know what? I know there's fear, but you know what? That's what you do. There's always a risk, but it's an art to this, and it takes passion, a special person to be able to handle it because it's stressful too. I do. You know what? Remember where you came from, and you do, and bring everything. You have the ability to bring it all into your physical world. You have all the tools you need, and I see you heading in a very good direction. You'll be fine.
Thank you.
You'll be doing just fine. Okay. Thanks, Romy,
and I
wish you well, and I know you'll do great. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
All right. So another caller from my state, South Dakota, for Steve.
Good evening, South Dakota. Who's calling? Hello, South Dakota.
They're a quiet bunch back there. South Dakota, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, I heard laughter. Yes. Hi, go ahead. You've got Steve.
Yes, this is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How can I help, Sherry?
I have a question concerning my son.
Okay.
And school issues he's having. And the counselor says it's one thing, and I'm not sure that it is, and I don't know if I should pursue what the counselor thinks.
Let me see.
Or just let it go and see what happens.
My guides are saying that the counselor does have a valid point, a valid observation, but it doesn't feel as black and white as the counselor suggests. And my guides are saying sometimes it's best to acknowledge that there's a challenge, but without necessarily putting ourselves in a category. I feel that his challenge is mostly an emotional challenge. It's like he struggles with the processing of his emotions, and he can express himself or his emotions inappropriately. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's a real quiet child.
Yeah, he's quiet and he's introspective. My guides are saying that, in a nutshell, the counselor does have a valid point, but it's not always necessary to put ourselves in a specific category. And I feel that with him, you need to combine a number of different solutions. So one is the counseling that you're doing now, and another is self-understanding. How old is he?
He's 12.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't feel as though his father's a very strong influence in his life.
No.
And I feel that he needs to work through that. I feel that he needs the opportunity to work through his feelings about the absence of his father or the fact that his father's not particularly present. But he's a bright boy. I feel as though he's good at math. I feel as though he's particularly good with math.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bright guy, a bright kid. But I feel that the more you do to help him understand himself and understand the differences between people and unfold, the easier things will become. I feel as though he struggles a little socially. He hasn't quite found his group of friends or kids that he feels comfortable socializing with.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I feel that it's important that you help him to understand himself and help him to find other kids that he can socialize with, that he feels a connection with, because he has a tendency to isolate himself a bit.
Okay.
So in summary, counselor has a valid point, but it's not necessarily black and white, and you should combine different strategies and solutions for him. But I feel that he'll be okay. I feel that he'll do well. And do encourage his ability with math, because he's a bright kid. Okay?
Yes, he does well when he applies himself.
Yeah, he's bright.
Yes, he's thank bright. You very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Great,
thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye. Sorry, oops, I interrupted. All right, one last caller. It's the last caller of the night, and this one's from Washington State. Are you there?
Yeah, you've got Becca. Aren't you lucky?
I am the luckiest person in the entire world. Thank you, yes, for pointing that out. What's going on, Becca?
Okay, yeah, just some advice.
Here we go.
You know, be ready because this is a hard one for you, I'm sure. The past year, I've noticed that I've opened up more spiritually and psychic in the psychic arena as well. But the past few months, I hear a lot of talking, a lot of chatter from the other side. And I'm not sure how to, and sometimes it's shouting, sometimes there's 10, 15 voices all at once. I'm not sure how to separate that so I know who's saying what, or if there's a particular message I need to be paying attention to. How can I make this so it's more legible, and so that at night when I'm trying to go to sleep, they don't scream in my ear, so I can get some sleep. last Thursday was particularly difficult, and I was literally shouting, and I'm like, come on, guys, please. So
it can be crazy.
Clear that up.
Yeah, well, you know, so sleeping pills? No, I'm kidding. No, it's...
Yeah.
First open up, there's a couple of different things that are going on and that can often happen, especially when you start dialing in like that. And so oftentimes what I found is that, and this is over me, when I first started doing readings and doing the mediumship, and I would have family members that would come through, and it was much like what you described. They were all trying to vie for my attention. And especially when you get into a room full of people where you have 30 to 50 people there, of course, then you have all of their relatives, however many different grandmas and grandpas and all everybody trying to come through. But what I found is that the more that you work that muscle, the more that you begin to tune in. So in other words, if I have somebody that's sitting in front of me or I'm getting a particular pull or a feeling to a certain area, I just hone in on them. It's much like when you walk into a party and you're looking for a friend and you kind of try to pick out their voice calling your name. You naturally kind of drown all the other voices out, all the insignificant ones that aren't pertaining to what you're tuning into. It's a lot like that, narrowing it down in a crowd, as it were. Now, that's one. So the other part of calming it down is you need to start owning and taking – it's your radio that they're all coming through on, okay? You need to start creating maybe radio stations. In other words, start divvying up and say, okay, everybody who needs help, my help over here, everybody who's just coming through to just say something over here, you know what I mean? And start grouping everybody. And then you need to start taking charge and going, look, the radio's off now, right? It's time for me to get this. You really have to start controlling all of that, and they have to listen to you. Now, I've heard before of some people who say, yeah, they were on their honeymoon or they were on vacation and a spirit would come through and wake them up and you know, talk about, I need you to contact so-and-so. I've never had that happen to me personally. And I'm not saying it's because of what I am or am not doing, but I've never been bothered in that way. I've just always made it very clear. Here's a circle. And when I step into that circle, I'm ready to start receiving messages. If I'm not in that circle, you're not allowed to bother me. And frankly, I wouldn't know who you're talking about anyway. Oh, you have to talk to my daughter for me. Well, look, I don't mind talking to your daughter, but you have to bring your daughter to me. I'm not going to start going up to people random on the street finding out who's your daughter. Do you know what I mean? So, again, it's you really have to sense your tone, your intention. You have to take charge, and you have to kind of put it out there that I'm so willing to do whatever it is that I can to help all of you, but you got to give me my sleep. And then you just start meditating more during the day. You set aside specific times where they can meet with you and then say what they need to say. Okay, guys, we've got 45 minutes. Who's the strongest one that wants to come through? And it's just crowd control, you know? Okay, all of you are shouting, stop it. I need one at a time. You, right over there in the whatever, talk to me. Everybody else will get you. You know what I mean? And just really have to start taking charge. Does that make sense to you? Do you see what I mean?
Right. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. In fact, two nights ago was the first time that actually I actually saw while I had my eyes closed. I was awake, and I had my eyes closed, and there were two voices. There was a couple in front of me. And it was a man and a woman. The man had a mustache, and the woman had long blonde hair. And they were trying to speak, but it was just so fuzzy. And I said, you know, I got to go to sleep. You know, it was very, 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 like 2-3 in the morning. But yeah, it does make sense.
It's just like you would deal with relatives who visit you for Christmas. You all got to be quiet so I get some sleep so I can get up in the morning and so we can have a festive day, so we can have a good day. I need my sleep. You know what I mean? So just more taking charge of it and more practice and more putting it into categories. Just again, it's your station they're coming through. And so it's your radio. And you're the one that says, look, if you're all going to come to me, here's the thing that – here's the rules. We all have to have our rules that we live by. You know what I mean? And they have to respect that. Okay?
Right. So boundaries are good. That's great. Thank you.
Boundaries they have to be. They have to be essential. It's one of the things that Lennon was talking about this evening. We have to have those particular boundaries, and we have to have what it is, because if we don't take care of ourselves, then we can't help take care of everyone else as well. We have to create those boundaries, and we have to be a little selfish, I think. You know what I mean? Right. You have to do what it is that makes you feel good so that you can tune in better and brighter and more so.
Right.
Okay.
Wonderful.
All right,
Thank
Beck.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. All right, take care.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. And that is going to wrap up the show for myself and Brendan, Maureen, and Steve, and everybody. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And again, our thanks to Doug, who works behind the scenes, keeps all the callers, everybody, all of us on track time-wise. It's very difficult to make those executive producer decisions. So again, I want to thank all of my co-hosts, and next week's show, you know, I'm not sure
Maureen.
Doing it. Let me finish. Maureen, you kind of interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
I was not sure who was doing it. And now I remember it was Maureen.
It's my purpose. Okay.
It's your purpose. What's next week's show about?
I'm really excited. We have a great guest named Lynn Keston. Anyway, he'll be fantastic. He's very credible, but we're doing it on extraterrestrials. But real quick, I wanted to say that I don't know if many people know this, but on November 8, 2011, the CBS News said that the U.S. government had no evidence of the life existence, blah, blah, blah. Well, people responded in petitions that they wanted, they aired their grievances. So it went on. So this is just recently, you know, November 2011. So that's when they launched the Mars Science Laboratory rover, which is designed to search for past or present habitability on Mars. She's invited, you know, whatever. So it's going to be a fantastic show.
I can't wait. I'm so into all of that. I love it.
And this is, you know, really about the governments being pulled in. And so that Mars thing is scheduled to land on Mars Gale Center in August 2012, interestingly enough. So there you have it.
So, and there you have it. Thank you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
And good night to you, Steve.
Good night, Bobby. Wonderful show. Thank you. I look forward to next week's show. I'm fascinated by UFOs, etc. So that will be a really great show, Maureen. Look forward to that.
And Lady Brenda.
Great show, Bobby, and I'm looking forward to next week's show because when I was a teenager, I saw a UFO.
Stop it! Shut up! Oh, we're so talking.
I saw a UFO at Mount Palomar, right in that area.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll have fun.
That's great. All right, so be sure to join us. Be sure to join us next week, then, everyone, for Psychic Access Talk Radio. Meanwhile, again, join us on psychicaccess.com. Have a great, great week, and we'll see you here next time. Bye bye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access. 24 hours.